Scripture is from Matthew 5, 38 through 48. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of God.
So I don't know about you, but I find that commuting is really good for my faith. I find that the freeway is a really good little workshop for our faith, you know, for how we're going to live Jesus' way in this world. I'll give you an example. I can find myself every once in a while driving down the freeway. You know, I'm going like 65, and the traffic is heavy enough that everybody's kind of going 65. You know, there's enough room for everybody, but people are just kind of cruising along. And all of a sudden, someone will come up behind me and get really close, you know, like closer than they really need to be. Now, once in a while, most of the time, I guess I should say, I'll do the right thing. The right thing is to, you know, acknowledge that, you know, he's back there and I don't like it very much, you know. But just wait for things to be safe, and I kind of move over to the right and I make way for him to go by, right? It's the right thing to do, right? We all do that, don't we? I was testing to see if I was alone. Okay, now I'm going to tell you. Sometimes, once in a while, this has happened to me. That guy gets up really close like that, and it really bothers me, you know? And I know that there's no way that he can't go any faster than anybody else, and he just wants me to get out of his way, and I don't want to get out of his way. So, you know what I'll do? I'll stay right where I am, you know? And in fact, I might even slow down just a little bit. Just enough, you know? So well, is he really slowing down on purpose, or, you know, just enough, but enough. Enough maybe to make him go around to the right, and then you know what I might do if I'm really ornery? Speed up just a little bit. You know? Just enough. It happens, right? Sometimes I want to do the right thing, but I do the wrong thing because my pride gets in the way, right? We know we're not supposed to do those things. But sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's hard for us to get away, you know, to step away from our pride and make way for Jesus' way. Step away and make way for Jesus' way, which is really the right way, which is really the way of love, right? Well, that's kind of what Jesus is talking about in this passage today. He's lifting up a couple of situations where pride really gets in the way. And what he's asking people to do in this passage today, which comes from the Sermon on the Mount, we talked last week about the Sermon on the Mount, right? That great body of teaching that Jesus puts out there to really try and mix up the way that we're thinking, you know, instead of just thinking and going along the way we always think, to kind of mix it up and start to look at things in a new way, to look at things from God's perspective, to start to look at things the way that God wants us to look at life. Well, Jesus lifts up a couple of rules that people had been living by for centuries. And one of them is this rule of retribution. It's the rule of retribution, you know, what you can do to get back at those people who have done you wrong to your person or to your pride. Retribution. And he also lifts up this other rule, this rule of restitution, what you need to do to make amends when you're actually in the wrong. So he lifts up these two rules, and he starts with the first rule, and it's the eye for an eye rule. You've all heard it. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? Well, this was a rule that was given to God's people. And like all of his rules given to God's people, God gave them to his people so that they would be a little different than the other people around them, the other tribes, the other people, the other nations. God wanted his people to stand out as a people who were an example of how to be in good relationships with each other and good relationships with God. He wanted his people to be a light unto all the other nations. So he gave them rules to live by. Now, at the time that God gave this eye for an eye rule, the rule in all the cultures around was pretty much that retribution was up to you. Whatever you wanted to do to get back at somebody was okay. For instance, if I was to poke out somebody's left eye, they might come and poke out my left eye, and then poke out my right eye, and then go and poke out all the eyes of everybody in my family, and then go and poke out all the eyes and maybe take the heads of everybody in my town, and then burn the town down. That was the rule of retribution. Well, God comes and he puts a rule around the rule. And the rule around the rule was the eye for an eye rule. He said, my people are going to be different. My people aren't going to do those kinds of things. My people, if justice needs to be done, it's going to be proportionate. If someone pokes out your eye, okay, maybe they could take one eye. It wasn't a requirement that you seek retribution, but if retribution was going to come, if justice was going to be done, it had to be proportionate. It had to be measured, and it couldn't be unlimited. So God puts this rule around the rule to kind of make his people stand out from all the rest. Well, Jesus comes along in our reading today. He comes along centuries later, and he expands upon that rule. He actually changes the nature of that rule just a little bit. He says that all the time that maybe you know, the eye for an eye thing has seemed reasonable. But he says, now I have a different rule for you. I want you to look at things my way. I want you to not retaliate at all. When someone hurts your pride, I don't want you to retaliate. Because retaliation is only going to bring more retaliation. It's just going to be this endless cycle of retaliation. So step away, he says, from the way you've always done things. Step away from your pride, even if it's injured, and make way for my way, which is love, which is peace. And you know, we see that in our lives, don't we? Especially, I think, if you're a married couple, you learn this pretty quickly. That every once in a while, you know, your household will be kind of consumed in argument and strife. And it all goes back to one person saying one word and pushing one button and maybe sort of, you know, making some sort of comment, either intentionally or unintentionally, that hurts your pride. And the next thing you're doing is you're coming back with an insult the same way, and you're doing eye for eye, insult for insult. And pretty soon the whole household is consumed in this firestorm of fighting. Or worse, the whole place becomes chilly, right? With sullen silence that lasts for days. It's guaranteed when we do tit for tat, when we do insult for insult, when we do that eye for eye thing in our households, it begins to choke away the love. So Jesus says, look, when your pride is hurt, step away. Step away from your pride. Make way for my way. The way of love. The way that really leaves an opening for peace. Okay? So Jesus lifts up this rule, the eye for eye rule, and as reasonable as it may have seemed, he's asking people to step away from it. And he goes on and he lifts up another rule, this rule of retribution. And this was the rule that had existed that said, if you're caught in a lawsuit, can you believe they're out there on the hillside talking, you know, the Beatitudes and everything, and then the subject turns to lawsuit? Shows how little things have changed. But they're out there, and Jesus says, if you're in a lawsuit and you lose the lawsuit, you're clearly in the wrong. You can lose your property. And in those days, people didn't have a whole lot of property. Sometimes all they had were the clothes on their back. And God said, you could lose the clothes on your back. But God set a rule around that rule. He said, even if you lose a lawsuit, even if you're in the wrong, you can lose your property, you can lose your clothes, but you're not required to give the robe, the outer robe that you wear. The reason was the outer robe that a person wore, the outer robe was really heavy and big. And a poor person could actually have shelter under that robe at night. So God says, you may have to give your property if you lose a lawsuit, but you shouldn't have to give up your shelter of last resort. And you shouldn't be left naked. You shouldn't be left ashamed. You might have to lose your property, but you shouldn't lose your dignity. So that was the rule around the rule that God had set up. Well, Jesus comes in this reading today, and he has another way of looking at it. He kind of turns it on its head. He says, if you're in the wrong and you need to make amends, you should do what's required, but you should go even further. You should go even further, Jesus says. Now, Jesus did not mean that people, you know, who actually lost their clothes should actually give up their robe. He wasn't saying that. But what he's saying, when we need to make amends to each other, it's not enough just to do what's required. We should go a little further. How many of you have ever done the unapologetic apology? Right? We know what that is, right? We know we're in the wrong. And we know we have to make restitution in the sense of we have to apologize. But what we'll do is we'll apologize something like this. We'll kind of do an apology like, you kind of set your, you know, face like that, you know, kind of a challenging face and kind of cross your arms, you know. And then you say, I'm sorry. Or even better, this is a good one that I do. I cross my arms, I get the face on, and it's, I'm sorry, and then my finger comes out. So I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but I'm also going to just, you know, by the way, let you know why you're still wrong, okay? I'm sorry, but, right? And we all know that's not an apology. That's the minimum that we need to do. That's the minimum. Jesus says we need to go beyond that. We need to go beyond that. We need to actually let go of our pride a little bit. We actually need to come out from the shelter of our defensiveness. Maybe part of our apology is asking that person, how could I be better? How did it make you feel? Only when there's real desire to change, real desire to understand, only then can there be real healing, right? And if there isn't real healing, those same problems are going to come back again and again and again. So Jesus says we need to go a little bit further. And I mean, that is so important, again, in married life. It's important with our friends. It's important in any place where we deal with other people. But you know, where it's really amazing, where it's really important is with our children. And I really believe this. It is so important, parents, to pray in the morning and the evening with your children. Because that evening time gives us an opportunity to do something really great. Because every once in a while, as parents, you know, we will do our kids wrong. We'll say something in anger, and we know that it hurts them. We'll make a judgment that is really unjust, and we know it is. In that time of prayer together is an awesome time to acknowledge under God that we do things wrong sometimes. To ask for God's forgiveness and then ask that child's forgiveness. You know, you want to give your children's future spouse a gift. Model for them real confession, real contrition and repentance, and real forgiveness. It's a gift that will last for generations. Jesus says, when we get to that place where we need to ask for forgiveness, don't just do what's required. Take off the coat. lose a little bit of pride, let go of a little bit of that dignity, and really find some understanding. So healing can come and we can move on. These are all things that Jesus has given us to do so that we can stand out as his people, so that we can be a light to others, so that they can see the way that we have our families and the way that we treat others and say, what is it about them? What is it about them? Maybe it's Jesus. You know, John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement in the 18th century. And he had three rules for living a Christian life. Have you heard these before? Some of you have. He had three rules for living a Christian life. And they really help us to step out of the way of the way we usually do things and make way for Jesus' way. His first rule, in any situation, wherever we are each day, do no harm. Just simply do no harm. You know, when our pride is hurt, don't retaliate. It's only going to make this cycle of retribution go on and on and on. And we're going to do harm. So make way for Jesus' way. Do no harm. His second rule for Christian life was do good in any situation where you are, wherever you are, however you can. Just think about that. God, how can I do good? And especially when we're asking for forgiveness, we're making amends. We can do enormous good by just extending ourselves that extra little bit to try and make some real change. So do good. The third rule for Christian life, and this one is linked to the other two, stay in love with God. Isn't that beautiful? Stay in love with God. It's the reason that we get into Scripture every day. It's the reason that we pray. It's the reason that we gather together in worship. It's the reason that we worship at home and with our children as a family. So that we stay in tune with God. We stay in love with God. And that's the way that we begin to live that kind of life. To live that kind of life that Jesus asks us to live that really makes us shine. It helps us. It gives us the power to do what's needed, to go that extra mile for other people. You know, in Jesus' day, when he was giving this sermon, Judea was under occupation by the Romans. And there was a rule, you know, that the Romans had. And the rule was this. The rule was that a Roman soldier could come by any time. Any time and pluck you or me out of what we were doing, take us away from our family, take us away from our job, take us away and impress us into service for that Roman soldier. Make us carry his load down the road. But that rule had a rule around it. And the rule around it was that soldier could only impress you into service for 1 mile, 1 mile. But you all know what Jesus said, right? If they impress you for 1 mile, if they make you carry that load for 1 mile, offer to carry it too. Now, why would he say that? Well, I don't know, but can you imagine the conversation that that might open up between you and that Roman soldier? You're walking with the Roman soldier, you're carrying his load, you get to the end of the mile, he says, okay, you can go now. You can go now. Drop it. You turn around, the Roman soldier Christian says, you know, I'm cool, you know. I'll go a little bit more with you. I'd be happy to walk with you a little further and take this load. Suddenly, Roman soldier's looking at this guy and he's seeing a person. He's not seeing a vassal, a slave. Who are you? Why would you do this for me? Why would you be kind to me? Who is this Jesus who tells you to do this? Oh, yeah. To step out of the way we do things and make way for Jesus' way. That's how people begin to see who Jesus is. They see him in us. So every day, anyway, let's make way for his way. Make way for Jesus' way. Make way for that way of love. Make sense? Okay. Let's go ahead and pray together. Dear God, we are grateful today for your word. We're grateful today for all that you give us. We're grateful, God, for your Holy Spirit who gives us the strength, who allows us to make changes in our lives that can be deep, that can make a real difference in our families, make a real difference in our church, and make a real difference in our world. So we ask, oh God, that you help us to step out of the way and make way for your way of love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.